Today's shir is Masechta Makis Daf Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Zayin and Aleph at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Mishnah Nigma Dinoy. If somebody had a dintari who was accused, and he dintari was completed, and he was sentenced, Ubarach, and then he escapes before he could be actually executed, Ufa Ubalafnei Oysa Bezdin, and he's caught, and he's brought back to that Bezdin, the halach is ain't sois mistinoi. We don't retry him. We just pick up where we left off. And as the Aruch Lener points out, even though we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin that even if someone is convicted and is on the way to execution, if he comes up and he says, I have a new reason to be acquitted, we go back to Bezdin, that isn't the case in our Mishnah. The case of our Mishnah is just he ran away. He doesn't have any new reason to be acquitted, and that's why we just take him to the execution. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, if two Edom come to the Bezdin and say, we could testify that this individual was already sentenced another Bezdin, and they have to be able to point out plenty Edov, that these were the Edom in that case, the halacha is that is enough for the second Bezdin to carry out the execution. Hareze Yehareg. Of course, as the Rishonim point out, it has to be a situation where the able to identify the names of the Edom, because if they can't identify the names of the Edom, then it's not an Edus Shatu Yochel Azima. We learned at the beginning of Masechta, if the Edom can't be Muslim, we don't have a proper Edus. Furthermore, teaches us the Mishnah, Sanhedrin Nayagas Baratz B'chutzlaretz. The Sanhedrin is operative both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlaretz. However, as the Rishonim point out, it's only the Sanhedrin is operative in Chutzlaretz as long as the Sanhedrin is operative in Eretz Yisrael. If there is no Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael, we can't have a Sanhedrin in Chutzlaretz. Furthermore, the members of the Sanhedrin in Chutzlaretz have to be people who are smuchim, who have smicha, and as we've discussed many times, smicha is not what we are familiar with being smicha ordination. Rather, what smicha here means is the smicha that was given in the time of Chazal, which only could be given in Eretz Yisrael. So even if somebody's a member of a Bezdin, in Chutz Laaretz, he has to have smicha from Eretz Yisrael. Says the, and the question that we will try to answer when we get to the Gemara is that this is indeed a very important halacha, but this halacha should have probably been taught in Masechta Sanhedrin. Why is it being taught to us here in Masechta Makkos? Continues the Mishnah. So Sanhedrin ha-hareges echad b'shvua, a Sanhedrin that murders once every 7 years, nikra chavlonis. It's considered a Sanhedrin that's a little, so to speak, too trigger happy. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, echad l'shivim shana, once every 70 years. What Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah means, we'll see in the Gemara. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. If the Sanhedrin is, firstly, the question is, why is this halacha here? Again, shouldn't have this rule been taught to us from Masechta Sanhedrin? So the Mefarshim respond, the Inyakov says this Teretz, that at the beginning of our Mishnah taught us that if somebody comes to Bezdin, somebody was escaped and was brought to Bezdin, and the Edom come and say that he was convicted and sentence in a previous Bezdin, the new Bezdin will carry out that execution. So we would perhaps think that we shouldn't carry out that execution if this will cause this second Bezdin to be a Bezdin that's a Chavlonis. Teaches us the Mishnah, as bad as it is to be a Chavlonis, you have to do what you have to do. So the question is very obvious. Bezdin has to do what Bezdin has to do. Why are they called Chavlonis if people did crimes for which they deserve this punishment? So the Mefarshim respond, because it's Bezdin's responsibility, there are two ways of looking at this, to make sure that society is functioning properly. And if we have a society where people are doing these kind of things, then that's an unacceptable situation. Moreover, the Mefarshim explained, it's the Bezdin's responsibility to be mispalel, to daven, that people act appropriately. And if Bezdin, and if people aren't, it's Bezdin's fault. And in fact, I saw the Tiferes Shleimer says, that is why we know the halacha is that the Sanhedrin,
sat in the Lishkas HaGozes, in the Beis HaMikdash. Why did I have to be in the Beis HaMikdash? Why did I have to sit there? Because as we're explaining now, it is so important that they be mispalel on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and that's why they have to be in the place where our tefillos are most miskabel, in the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Tafer Rav Kiva Oimrim, Ilu Hayinu B'Sanhedrin, were we in the Sanhedrin, Lo Nerug Adam Olam. No one would have ever been killed. We would have done things to prevent people, and the Gemara will explain more, to prevent people from getting killed. So here too, the Mefarshim ask, is what Pshat Lo Hayinu Nerug Adam Olam? Didn't we learn in Masechta Sanhedrin that the halacha is that if Edom were inconsistent when they were cross-examined, we don't kill the we don't convict the murderer, but we put him into a keeper, we put him into a cell, and we feed him, barely feed him, and he dies. So what pshat that the Mishnah says, lo hayu nerugim adam olam? So I saw two pshatim. I actually saw three pshatim. First we're going to mention two. One pshat is that the Mefarshim say, we wouldn't have actively executed him. He would have died on his own. Another pshat is that although the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that at times, even if we can't issue a formal conviction, we do cause the person to die. The case was, as we recall, where Ben Zakkai said that we asked the Edom about the uksi te'enim, about the stems of the figs of the tree where this murder took place. So that's a question that if the Edom can't answer, it's not just a significant question. So there we have to eradicate the murderer. But Amish is referring, as we'll see in the Gemara, to very significant questions, and if the Edom can't respond, then indeed the halacha is that we don't kill the person. Rav Shimon Gamliel says to Rav Kiva and Batarf, and I disagree. You're causing that people should not take doing crime seriously if they know they'll always get away with it. So the Levush Martcha says, how does Rav Tarf and Rav Kiva respond to Rav Shimon Gamliel? Well, what I just said, that Rav Kiva and Rav Tarf aren't saying that we don't get the person killed. We don't actively kill him, but we leave him to die, and therefore it'll be enough of a deterrent. In fact, I saw a tshuva from Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein based on what Rav Shimon Gamliel says. He discusses the following question. Interesting story. There was a male who was speeding. Driving, and he was speeding, and the police pulled him over. And he tells the police, I was speeding because I had to make it to a bris milah. And the police took a very interesting approach. They said, if you go to a rabbi, and the rabbi says that indeed you were supposed to speed to make it to the bris milah, we won't ticket you, we won't fine you. So he comes to the Rav, and the Rav says, absolutely, you should get ticketed. Because our Mishnah is teaching us that we see it as a concept of keeping society safe. And what you did was dangerous. There is no heter because you're trying to make it to a bris milah. So ask the Gemara. It said in the Mishnah, from the first words of the Mishnah, it seems that only if they bring back this individual to the original Bezdin, that's when we continue to psak. It seems to be, Lefnei Bezdin Acher, were we to take him to a different Bezdin, Soysim, then we have to start the Dintara all over again. Ask the Gemara, but let's continue learning the Mishnah. Hatani Seifa, Kamak Misham Dushnayim, V'yoymu, V'idim Anu Ish Ploini, Shindig V'dina V'bezdin, Ploini, V'bezdin Ploini. If they come back and they say that this Dintara took place in that Bezdin, and they're able to report, U'ploini, U'ploini, Adof, that these were the Edim, Hareza Narag. So we see that they do pick up where we left off. How do we reconcile these two statements in the Mishnah? Amar Abaye Lakasha. Kam Be'eretz Yisrael, Kam B'chutz La'aretz. If the second Bezdin is in Eretz Yisrael, so that's when we start over the Din Torah. Because Eretz Yisrael comes with a new perspective. Whereas, if it's in the old, whereas if it both but they did him on Chutz La'aretz, we just pick up where the old Bezdin left off. So the Mefarshim ask, our Mishnah Gemara seem to say that in the second Bezdin, that the halacha is that we need to have Edom come in and say that this was the conviction of the first Bezdin. This was the sentence that took place in the first Bezdin. But there are Rishonim suggest that we don't have to have it that far. That even if Edom come in and say that we were there in the first Beis Din and Adam in the first Beis Din were cross-examined, but it didn't come all the way up to the point of sentencing. The halacha still is that that would be enough for the second Beis Din to pick up where the first Beis Din left off, and we don't have to start all over, even though the first Beis Din never came to this point of sentencing. So ask Rav Shmuel Rozovsky if that is indeed the halacha, so shouldn't our Mishnah start a bigger chiddush? The Mishnah should have said that even if they're in the middle of the Torah, the second Beis Din could pick up where the first Beis Din left off. Answers Rav Shmuel Rozovsky that perhaps there's a difference between Dinei Mominus and Dinei Nefashos. By Dinei Mominus, as long as they're in the middle of the trial, the second Beis Din could pick up where the first Beis Din left off. But when we're talking about Dinei Nefashos, the second Beis Din could only pick up where the first Beis Din left off if there was actually sentencing. Furthermore, the Mefarshim, the Ritva, discusses the following question. He says, our Mishnah, our Gemara, is teaching us that if the first Beis Din was in Chutz Laaretz and the second Beis Din was in Eretz Yisrael, so we start the trial over again. If the first Beis Din was in Chutz Laaretz and the second Beis Din was in Chutz Laaretz, or if the first Beis Din was in Eretz Yisrael and the second Beis Din was in Eretz Yisrael, then we pick up where we were left off. Ask the Ritva, what would be the halacha if the Beis Din, the first Beis Din, was in Chutz Laaretz, and then that very Beis Din, this person escaped, and then that very Beis Din moved to Eretz Yisrael, and then he was caught and brought to them in Eretz Yisrael. So on one hand, we have here a situation that they were going from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, we have here a situation that it's the same Beis Din. What is the halacha? So Ritva says, since it's the same Beis Din, so then we don't start the trial over again, even though we faced a situation where the first time they were in Eretz Yisrael, and Chutz Laaretz is not in Eretz Yisrael. So I saw Rav David Pavarsky asks, and why? Why Taka? If we're saying that coming to Eretz Yisrael brings a whole new perspective, so it should make a difference if it's the same Beis Din or another Beis Din. So he says a very beautiful teretz. He says, when a second Beis Din is picking up from the first Beis Din, even though they're not going through the whole process of a trial, they are indeed in a situation of making a psak. And the psak of Eretz Yisrael, as our Gemara is teaching us, is different than the psak of Chutz Laaretz. So therefore, the psak of Eretz Yisrael is different than the psak of Chutz Laaretz. We have to have, if it's a new trial. But if it's the same Beis Din, they're not giving a new psak. They're just restating what has already been said. That's not called a psak. That's called a statement. And a statement doesn't make a difference if originally the statement was made in Chutz Laaretz and then the statement is now going to be made in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, to corroborate this approach, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Destoy, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Shatach, Baruch Eretz L'Chutz Laaretz, if the first trial took place in Eretz Yisrael and then he ran to Chutz Laaretz and then he's caught, ain't Sois Mestina, we don't start the Din Torah over again. However, Mechutz Laaretz L'Aretz, if the first trial was at Chutz Laaretz and then he's caught and brought at Yisrael, Sois Mestina, we have to start the entire all over again. Nay, Schusay Shlaretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara Sanhedrin, I haggis, Bein Be'eretz, Bein Mechutz Laaretz. Ask the Gemara Menani Mili, from where do we know this? So now, the Mefarshim say, we understand why the Mishnah, here in Masechta Makkos, taught us the halacha of Sanhedrin's Nehagis Baratz Mechutz Laaretz. Because we just learned all these halachas about where the first trial is, why the second trial is. That's why our Mishnah teach us that the Sanhedrin applies both in Eretz and Chutz Laaretz. Mononymously, from where do we indeed know that Sanhedrin is in both places? So Mefarshim asks, why would we think differently? A Sanhedrin is not a mitzvah tluy ba'aretz, so of course it ought to apply Chutz Laaretz. Answer the Rishonim, because as we're going to learn, the pasuk regarding appointing Sanhedrin uses the words bishar recha. So I would think it means specifically at Yisrael. That's why our Mishnah has to teach us that it also applies in Chutz Laaretz. The Tanya, V'hoya elu lachem l'chukas mishpah l'darisaychem, l'madnu l'sanhedrin sh'nagas b'chutz aretz u'b'chutz laaretz. Ask the Gemara, if so, that Sanhedrin applies even in Chutz Laaretz, im keimah tam alayim b'sharecha, what does the pasuk of b'sharecha come to teach us? To teach us, b'sharecha, in Eretz Yisrael, atam moshe batadinim, b'chol plach u'plach, u'b'chol ir v'ir. Every district and every city should have a Beis Din. B'chutz Laaretz, whereas in Chutz Laaretz, atam moshe b'chol plach u'plach, you have a Beis Din in every district, however, v'yatam moshe b'chol ir v'ir, you don't have to have in every city. So sort of Dubna Magid asks why. If anything, He says maybe Chutz La'aretz should need more Batei Dinim than Eretz Yisrael. So he says, as is usual, he gives an answer with a mashal. He says, there was once a person from a village who met a person from the city. He was visiting the city. He says, you know, I don't understand something this person from the village says. He says, when I walk here in the city, every block I see a shingle that there's a doctor who has an office here. I live in a village, we don't even have one doctor. There's maybe one doctor for 10 villages. Moreover, he says, I come here to the city, I see so many people in the hospital, so many people who are sick. And in where I come from, there aren't that many people sick in the hospital. Why is it? So the man from the city responded. He said, where you come from, there are no doctors. So when does a person go to the doctor? Only when he's nebuch, very ill. Where I come from, we don't only go to the doctor when we're very sick. Even if we're not that sick, we go to the doctor. And you know what? Even if we're not sick at all, we go to the doctor for preventive medicine. And if they see that we need some sort of treatment to avoid getting sick, we are so treated. That's the difference between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, you only go to Beis Din when it's desperate. And Eretz Yisrael, as I spoke about earlier, the Beis Din creates an environment, creates a society that's a proper society, because that's what's required in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why we need to have more Batei Dinim in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutz La'aretz. So the Mishnah discussed the Sanhedrin Hareges. So the Mishnah asked the Gemara, when the Gemara mentioned, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Ach L'Shim Shana, what did he mean? Ach L'Shim Shana Nekra Chavlonis, Oidam Aruch Ari. He means that that's the regular way, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. Rav Tafram Kiva Omer Ilu Hayinu. They said, if we would have been there, nobody would have ever been killed. Asked the Gemara, Hecha Avda Avdi, what would they have exactly done? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar Damar Tavaya. They would have said, Re'isim, Harig Shalom, Trefa Harig, or Shalom Harig. The halach is, if the victim of a murder is already a trefa, the halach is the person who perpetrated that crime is not killed. The Gemara always uses the concept, Gazra Katila Kotel. He's killing somebody who halachically is not considered alive. So how do you know that this person is not a trefa for the victim? And therefore, you can't be certain to convict. Amar Vashi, Imtim Tzloima, Shalom Hava, and there's a machlokes how to understand this Gemara. Rashi explains that the Gemara means to say that we do a physical examination of the body of the victim after he was murdered to determine if he was a trefa. And we did the entire examination and we see that he wasn't a trefa. The Ritva doesn't agree with Rashi's approach because he finds it hard to believe that we have to go through an autopsy and nivul hames of every victim. And therefore he says that all is required would be an external examination, not a complete internal examination. But no matter what type of examination the Gemara means, ask the Gemara, we did the examination, and the examination proved that the victim was indeed not a trefa. Answers the Gemara, Dilma b'makam saif nekev. You can never be sure. How can you never be sure? Because maybe just the place where he was stabbed was the place where he had a hole which made him a trefa. Now when we examine the body, we have no way of knowing was this hole only caused by the murder or was the hole there before. And therefore we can never, according to Rav Tafra and Kiva, kill anybody. Ask Taisus, why don't we follow Rife? Most people don't have a hole punked in the spot where he got stabbed. So isn't that enough to establish that that wasn't there before? So the way that we try to respond to Taisus' question is as follows. Absolutely. And halacha we follow Rife. But here, it's similar to what we said earlier. If we don't have to ask every question of Adam. But if we ask Adam a question and they're unable to answer, or we ask Adam a question and they're inconsistent, then the halacha is that those Adam cannot be relied on. Or as the Aruch HaNeh goes further, he says, if this murderer had a smart lawyer, what his lawyer is going to do is ask the Adam this question, can you be certain that that wasn't the case, that there wasn't a hole in the spot where he was stabbed previously, and the Adam have probably no way of knowing? It's enough to cause a doubt that we can't kill a person when we have this doubt in front of us. There is also here machloikus rishonim, if they were speaking specifically about the victim, or could we also be saying that the halach would be on the murderer and on the victim and on the eidim, that they also have to be people who are not treifa. So I saw the mafarsh mask. We know the Gemara says Masechet Chulin, and Mitzvah we're going to learn that treifa, a person who's a treifa can't live more than 12 months. So ask the mafarshim, if we see that the victim lived 12 months, isn't that a proof that he wasn't a treifa? Because if he was a treifa, how did he survive 12 months? So mafarshim answer, it's still a problem. Because if he survived 12 months and then he dies, we have no way of knowing for sure that he died from the wound that was caused by the murderer. Maybe some other disease developed in this time. And therefore we can never be conclusively sure that this was the case and that this is a real act of murder. Ask the Gemara, Beboilas Erva Hechavdi. Again, Rav Tafra and Rav Kiva made a statement now, Mishnah, we would have always avoided sentencing somebody. How could that have been avoided in the case of Boilas Erva? Abai v'Rav Damar Tavayo, they would have asked the Edim, Re'isem, Kemacho b'v'shefers. Did you see the act so clearly, like an eyeliner is put into its holder? And of course, nobody probably saw that type of detail, and that's how they would have gotten disqualified. Ask the Gemara, v'Rabbanan Heichidaini. According to Rabbanan, disagree with Rekiva of Tarfin. So how indeed is anybody ever convicted for act of immorality? Answers the Gemara, Kishmul. Dama Shmuel, it's enough, but Menafim, Mashiach, Menafim. As long as we have enough, they look like they're doing the act, even though we didn't see the actual act, it's sufficient. So I saw that Noida Behuda quotes an interesting Rosh. He says that even though in our Gemara there's a machloikus between Rav Kiva and Rav Tafim versus the Rabbanan, how much do the Edom have to see? That's only in our situation where we actually are witnessing an act of, where we want to say that somebody did an act of adultery or immorality. But when it comes to prohibit an Eishes Ish from a husband, everybody is in agreement that you have to see Kamakh B'Shafaris, you have to see the actual act. And ask the Noida Behuda why. So the Bach gives the following distinction. He says, in a case where somebody's doing an act of Znus, so there's no Heskes Heter. So it's easier to convict versus a Eishes Ish who has a Heskes Heter to husband. Noida Behuda says a different teretz. He says, as we've learned in the previous year, in order to be Chayiv, there has to be a Hasra. So what happened here? We have this man and woman who are about to do this act, and they're being warned, don't do it. So they start it, and they say, we're going to do it anyway. And we do have some very strong derech hamnafim. That's enough to convict. The Eishes Ish doesn't go with the Hasra first. So there we have to see the actual act. Another interesting point is Rav Moshe uses in the Tshuvas this Gemara for famous Psak of Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe, even though the Shulchan Aruch says that we have to be machmer on Chol Yisrael, that if we want to drink milk or dairy products, the milk had to be milked under the supervision of a Jew. Rav Moshe, we know, was sort of lenient. He says he has reason to be lenient. He says he himself only used Chol Yisrael, and he suggests that that's what everybody should do, but he says there's a reason to be mekel. Why? Because he says we know there's government control in the United States, and we know for a fact that there are no other non-kosher species on the farms where milk is milked. The Shulchan Aruch says you have to have a Jew. So he says, from our Gemara we see a concept that if we're certain about something, that's the best raya. And this is certainly considered a situation that we're certain about something. Haran loketzer edim, haran loketzer edim, haran loketzer edim. We begin now the next parak of our Masechta Elohein HaGoyim, which discusses, we know the Torah says that if somebody is kills somebody else b'shoigig, he goes to Golos. However, there's a very important introduction that we must make. We speak about the concept of shoigig, but there are really three other scenarios. There's a scenario of mezit, there's a scenario of oinus, which is pure, beyond somebody's control, pure accident, and then there's a concept of korv l'mezit. Only by shoigig is there a halacha of Golos. By oinus and karav lemezid, there aren't. Why? Because shaygig is not, golus is not to be viewed as a punishment. But golus is to be viewed as an opportunity for kapara. Somebody who killed the oinus doesn't need a kapara. On the other hand, somebody who was karev lemezid, the Torah doesn't give him the opportunity for the kapara of golus. He doesn't deserve that opportunity, and that's why golus isn't given to him. There's another nafkamina. As we're going to learn, somebody who kills b'shagig, unless he runs to the Ar Miklat, which serves as a place of protection, the goyel adam, the relative of the victim, could take revenge. An oinus, the goyel adam can never touch. A karev lemezid, even were he to go to the one of the Ar Miklat, would not be protected through the Ar Miklat from the goyel adam. There's another nafkamina between an oinus and a karev lemezid, that if an akum kills a Jew, if he kills the oinus, he's let go. Whereas when a Jew kills another Jew to be chayiv misa, it has to be b'mezid. Akum that kills a Jew, even if he kills him just karv l'mezid, he's executed. So says the Mishnah. Eloheina goylen, ha-hared nefesh b'shkagah. And as Mishnah now teaches us, and the Gemara is going to pick up on this immediately, in order to be chayiv goyles, the act had to have been done derech yirida, as the object that killed the victim was falling. And the Mishnah gives us a number of examples. Magal b'magila. Their roofs were flat, but they used to put tar on the roof to prevent water from leaking. And when they put the tar on, they put on a coating of tar, and then they had a roller. And the roller would spread out the tar and also put it on a certain pitch. And if somebody was using this roller, v'nafla alav v'hargasot, and the roller falls down and kills somebody downstairs. Or, somebody was working with a barrel, and he drops it, and he kills the victim. Or, somebody was climbing down a ladder, and it falls down, and it kills somebody. In all these cases, and Tosfos obviously asked the question, why does the Mishnah have to give us three examples of the same rule? So Tosfos answers that the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. In a case where somebody's using a roller, he's not that careful that it shouldn't fall. But in a case where somebody's working with a barrel, he's careful, because if the barrel breaks, then all the contents of the barrel will be spilled out and he'll lose it. So maybe that should be not considered a case of shagig. And certainly if somebody's climbing up a ladder, he certainly doesn't want to fall. So certainly that should be considered a shagig. Teaches us the Mishnah, loizu afsu, that all of these cases are considered oinus. However, hayidol b'chavis, he was hayimosh b'magila, enough love, he was moving the roller in upward motion for hargusa, or hayudayla bechevzel, he was going up the barrel, the nifsek achevel nafal love hargusa, and it got disconnected, and it drops and kills the victim, or hayudayla b'sulim, somebody's climbing up a ladder, the nafal love hargoy, and it falls on the individual, hareza and goylin, all these halachas, that's not situation of golus. Zaklab, because this is the rule. Kol shev derech yiridasai, if the murder happened as he's going down, the halacha is he goes to golus. However, shloi b'derech yiridasa, it's going up in a goyel. So as we've been learning, we have a distinction between in the downward motion versus the upward motion. Ask the Gemara, but not immediately, where does this distinction come from? Answers the Gemara, Amr Shmuel, Amr Kra, v'yip alav v'yomus, at sheyip al derech nefila, has to be derech nefila. Says the Gemara Braisa, the pasuk that discusses this parasha of Golus says, Tanya Rabbanan, Shkoga, Prat Lemezit. And we're going to discuss every line of this Braisa. Bevelidas, Prat Lemezkavim. Ask the Gemara, Mezit, the Torah is teaching us that only if he killed Bishoigig, he's Chayiv Golus. But not if he killed Bemezit. Of course not, ask the Gemara, Pshita, if he killed Bemezit, Baktalahu, he's Chayiv Misa. Answer the Gemara, Amar Rava, Eima Prat Lemezit. Where the person thought that what he was doing was permissible. Amar Abaya, I Omer Mutter, if he thinks that what he's doing, that's permissible to kill somebody, honest who? Why should he be chai? Why would we think that he's chai misa? Amalei, so he responds, Shani Omer, because I have the opinion, and we're going to discuss this later in the Masechta, that Omer Mutter, that if somebody thinks, somebody does something that's usher, under the misimpression that it's really mutter, karv lemezidu. It's really considered karv lemezid. Why is it considered karv lemezid? Because there's no excuse. If you would have learned, you would have known that it's usr. And therefore, somebody who's oymer mutter is considered in the category of karav lemezid. And as I said in my introductory remarks, somebody who's karav lemezid is not, does not get goals. The next words of the Brice were, bevili das, prat lemeskavin. But if he did it intentionally, then he doesn't get goals. Ask the Gemara again, meskavin, if he killed intentionally, Peter Baktelahu, he's obviously Chayiv Misa and he doesn't go to Golis. What did the Bryce, what does the Pasuk have to teach this? Amaravitz come to teach us Prat Maharagus Behema, where he intended to kill an animal and instead Haragus Adam, or Lakuti, he intended to kill a Kuti Vaharagus Yisrael, or he intended to kill a Nefil Vaharag Ben Kayama. So as the Rishonim point out, what is the fundamental difference between the case of Oyma Mutter and the case of Meskav Maharagus Behema Vaharagus Adam? So to respond, in the case of Oyma Mutter, there is only one victim here. But Leskavel Haragazeh V'Haragazeh, there are two people. That's why it works with different lumps. Tana Bonim, Imba Pesa. The Torah again in this parish of Gola says Imba Pesa. Prat L'Keren Zovis. If it happened in a corner. And there are two ways of understanding this. One way is that if the victim and the perpetrator were so far apart from each other, they had no reason to believe somebody's walking with a knife, and the victim is far away, and all of a sudden the victim comes out of a corner and bumps into him, that's karav l'oynis. That's why most Rishonim explain. Other Rishonim say, and that's why he doesn't go to Golis, it's an oynis. Others say, it's on the contrary. If somebody's rounding a corner with a knife in his hand, he needs to be concerned, maybe somebody's coming the other way, and that's why it's called karav l'mezid, but the result is the same, as far as Golis is concerned, that there is no Golis. Blei eva, prat l'soynim. An enemy doesn't go to Golis. So I saw the Rishonim ask, and we're going to discuss the Pasuk, the Torah says explicitly that somebody who is a Soine doesn't go to Golis. So why do we need another Pasuk to teach us this halacha? So the Rishonim respond, sometimes when an enemy kills someone, we have no way of really knowing was it Bishayig or not. But sometimes, even though the murderer was an enemy, it's so obvious that this was a situation of Shayig. And maybe in those situations, the halach ought to be that he should go to Golis, teaches us the Pasuk, that if the murderer is his enemy of the victim, and we're going to learn an enemy means somebody who didn't speak to any, to 3 days because of animosity, even though it's clear to us, the Bezdin, that it was a shogig, he's still not going to Golis. Hadofa, shadofa begufoy, or hishlach alav. It's enough that he pushed him, that he should go to Golis. Or hishlach alav. To teach us, again, Hadafa Shadach Vegufay. The next words of the Pasuk, Lahav Yiridish Tzarech Liya, which we'll discuss more, is considered a case of Golis. Beloy Tzidia, Prat, Lemeskavel Tzadzeh, if he wanted to throw something in this direction, or shoot in this direction, Vahochaloy Tzad Acher, again, a Machloikis Rishonim. If some Rishonim consider this a situation of oynis, other Rishonim consider this a situation of karav l'mezid. Vashla tzada, problem is kam lezuk shtayim. He intended to throw the weapon for 2 amos v'zarek arba. Again, we're now saying machloikus, either it's an oynis or a karav l'mezid. V'shiyove, the pasuk continues saying, v'shiyove esri'eyu beyar, teaches us the Gemara, the Braisa, mea yar, where did this act take place in a forest, which is an area where shus l'nazik, L'nizik l'mazik l'konisham, both l'nizik and mazik may be there. Af kol rishus, it has to be a place, l'nizik l'mazik l'konisham. Only such a place is the din of Golis. Continues the Gemara. Bar minei Reb Avuhim Reb Yochanan. Hoya oyle besulam. If somebody's going up a ladder, v'nishmata ashliva metachtav, and as he's going up, so it's an upward motion, the one of the steps of the ladder fall out, the nafl of a hug, and it falls down and it hits the victim and he kills him. Mahu. How do we look at this case? Kegavna lihu. Does the halacha look at this situation as it's an upward motion because the person was climbing up? Or yuridihi? Or is it considered yuridah because the rung of the ladder went downwards and killed the person? Amale. So he responded. Kavan negata b'yuridah shutzarech liya. This is exactly what the Braisa meant a moment ago about Yeridish Tzerech Leviyah. Eisvei, so he asked him, that's how Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rabbi Avuah. Eisvei asks Rabbi Avuah to Rabbi Yochanan, there's a Braisa that says, Zeklal, a Mishnah said, Kol Shem Derech Yeridosei Goyla, if the murder took place derech yirida, goyla, shloi b'derech yirida, so if it didn't happen, that motion, and a goyla. So what is, and we know throughout Shasta, if the Mishnah ends the Mishnah with a rule, with a summary, there's a reason why the Mishnah is mentioning this. What is the point? Shloi b'derech yirida, so l'sui mai. What's the Mishnah trying to teach us with these words? Lav l'sui kai gavna. Isn't it coming to teach us this actual rule? That this is considered a situation of yirida where goyla is in order. Says Rabbi Avuhu to Rabbi Yochanan, "Utameich kosh b'derech yirudos l'sui mai." So how will we explain the next rule? Says Alasuya Katsiv. It's not come to speak about this case. It's talking about the case of a butcher, which I'll describe in a moment. Hakanami l'suya katsiv. What does that mean? A butcher has a big piece of meat, and he has a big knife, and he wants to chop that meat, but he needs to use a lot of force. So let's go through what does the butcher do to get the right amount of energy to chop this meat. He starts with a knife, and he first goes downward. So that's derech yirida. Then he starts picking up the knife to his shoulders. We have a derech aliyah. Then he puts the knife all the way behind his back. That's a derech yirida. Then when he gets the knife behind his back, he starts moving upwards to his shoulder. That's a derech aliyah. And then he goes down with a derech yirida. So I just described five different motions. Three were derech yirida, and two were derech aliyah. And in fact, says the Gemara, by explaining these motions, we could explain some what difficult brises. Because the brises says, the Tanya, there are a series of brises. One brises says, katsav shayim katsav, if a butcher was butchering with this knife. Tanachoda, one brises says, lefon of chayiv, when he was going in front of him, Yischaev, Lachrav Potter. Tanya Ida, Lachrav Chayev, Lefana Potter, just the opposite. Tanya Ida, there's a third brisa that says, Bein Lefana, Bein Lachrav Chayev. And then there's a fourth brisa, Tanya Ida, Bein Lefana, Bein Lachrav Potter. So how do we reconcile all these four brises that are seemingly speaking about the exact same case with very different results? V'loikasha, the way we respond is as follows. Can be Ridish Lefanov. When he's moving in the downward motion in front of him, which they're actually the two examples of, his chayiv goes, v'liyisha la'achrav, when he's going upwards, that's considered aliyah. Kan l'fiyish l'fonov, v'yiridish la'achrav, v'lekasha, kan b'yiridish l'fonov, if it's yiridish l'fonov, that's why he's chayiv, v'liyish la'achrav, that's why he's potter, kan b'liyish l'fonov, as he's going up to the front of his body, he's potter, v'yiridish la'achrav, when he's taking the knife behind his back, he's chayiv. Can be Yiridish Lefonov when he's going downwards in front of his body, or he's going downwards in the back of his body, he's always Chayiv. And can be Yiridish Lefonov, Ishlachav, when he's going upwards, both in front and behind his body, he's always Chayiv. So our Mishnah, says Rabbi Avuhu to Rabbi Yochanan, is referring to this situation, not to the situation of the broken ladder. To the ladder whose rung fell as he was climbing up. So what is the halacha in that case? Suggest the Gemara lemeka tanoi. It's a machlokes tanoi. The Braisa says, "Hay al basulam, if somebody was going up a ladder, the nishpta shleivim etachtov, and one of the rungs fall out, and it falls down and kills the victim, tanichada chayiv." One Braisa says, "In such a issue, you go to galus." But tanyida, but there's another Braisa that says, "Potter, my lav." How do we understand this machlokes? My lav, a hakamifki, the massover. One man dama holds Yerida he, and that's why he goes to Golis, because we look at the step of the ladder, and that went downwards. Masa, but we look at the person climbing up, and he was going Aliyah he. Says Marloi, it isn't necessarily that way to understand the Brisa. The Kulam Aliyah he. Everybody can well understand that this Brisa is referring to a situation where that's considered Aliyah, because we look at the person climbing up the ladder. So how do we reconcile this Machloikis Abraisis? V'loikasha. Kalin is Zok and Kalin goes. As far as Golis is concerned, he goes to Golis. He doesn't go to Golis because it's Derech Aliyah. As far as Nezokin to be responsible for damages, he is responsible for the damages because if a person is Mazik, somebody else, or the Mu'ud Lo'ilim, under all circumstances, he will be held financially responsible. Ibaris Eim Hav Golis. Both Brises are speaking about the obligation to go to Golis. How do we reconcile these two Brises? Floy Kasha. Had the asli, hadaloy asli. If the ladder was already spoiled, so therefore it's already the wrong, this way Rashi explains. So the rungs are already moving downwards because they're rotten there. The wood is rotten. That's why it's considered derech al-yurida. Loy asli, therefore it's not considered derech aliyah. It's only the act of the person climbing up the ladder that caused the rung to fall out, and it's considered derech aliyah. That's the way Rashi explains. Ritva explains just the opposite. Ritva says that if it's asli, so why did you go up such a ladder? So that's karav lemezit, and that's why you don't go to golos. If it's loy asli, so you had no way of knowing that this would happen to this ladder, and that's why you go to golos. A similar teretz, people say mahava had loy asli, v'loy kasha had mehedik. The rug is there tight, had loy mehedik. Continue the Mishnah. Nishman habaz mekitoy. If the knife of the metal of the axe fell off for harag and it killed. Rabbi Oimer, in such a situation, ain't a goyla? For chamaim goyla, you do go to goyles. I mean, eitz hamispakeya. Somebody's chopping a tree and a splinter wood flies and kills someone. Here we have just the opposite. The Gemara is going to explain everything. Rabbi Oimer goyla, for chamaim ain't a goyla. Tanya, amalam Rabbi lechachamim. V'chinema v'noshel habazel me'eitzoy. Does the Torah, when it speaks about somebody chayiv gol, speak about the metal part of the axe getting disconnected, that that's the case you say he goes to golos? The Torah says the wood of the tree killed the person, not the metal. Void. Furthermore, he says, nema eitz lamata. The Torah says, the pasuk, v'noshel habazim an eitz, v'nema eitz lamala, lichreis eitz. Ma eitz om lamala is referring to situation, it's referring to a piece of wood from the tree. Af eitz amalamata, where it speaks about nosh labazim and eitzoy, it's not talking about the metal getting disconnected, it's talking about the wood of the tree killing, not the metal. Om Rav Chibar Ashi, Om Rav, v'shnei mikra echadarshu. Actually, the machloikus of Rebbe and the Chachamim is based on how to understand the pasuk. Because as we just said, the pasuk says v'nosh labazim and eitz. We have a shaila, which we discussed many times. Do we follow Yesh Ein L'Mesiris? Do we follow the way the Torah spells the word? Or do we spell the way the word is read? Rebbe Sover, Yesh Ein L'Mesiris, we go according to the spelling of the word, and the word spelled is V'nishal Ksiv. V'nishal, the metal got disconnected and it killed the person. And Rabbanan Savri, Yesh Eim LeMikra, V'Nasa Krinan, that the wood itself, not that the axe hitting the wood, but the axe itself killed somebody. So the Machlokes is, what do we follow? The pronunciation, or do we follow the way it's spelled? The Mefarshim point out, as we learned many times, we only say that there's a machlokus of yesh eim lamikra, yesh eim lamesiris, where there's a nafkamina la'alocha, like in our case. If there's no nafkamina la'alocha, then we of course follow both. Why is it called yesh eim lamesiris, not yesh av lamesiris, yesh av lamikra? Don't we usually use the word binyanaf? So I sort of mefarshim respond as follows. When a halacha, when a pasuk is being used, not only to teach us a halacha regarding the subject at hand, but regarding other subjects, then the word av is used, binyanaf. When the pasuk is when we're talking about something that's relevant to the issue at hand, we use the word aim. Ask the Gemara, Rebbe Yesh Eim L'Sirus Svirlei. According to what we just explained, Rebbe's following the opinion of Yesh Eim L'Sirus. Bar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Roitz. Beshamai, Rabbi Shimon Makiva, Kul Svirlei, Yesh Eim L'Mikra. So how are we explaining Rebbe's opinion based on Yesh Eim L'Sirus when we learned the Masechta Sanhedrin that Rebbe's the man Dama that holds Yesh Eim L'Mikra? Answers the Gemara, Hanin the Kamal of Oid. That's why Rebbe indeed said the Oid. He gave another reason, because he didn't want to rely on the concept of Yesh Eim L'Mesiris. Amar Rav Papa, Man Deshad the Pisa L'Dikla. If somebody throws a clump at a tree, V'Asa Tamri, and it hits a date, and the date falls down, V'Asa Tamri V'Katl. Says the Marbonan or the Machlaikas to Rebbe Rabbanan. That seems to be the Machlaikas to Rebbe Rabbanan. According to Rebbe, you'll be Potter. According to Rabbanan, you'll be Chayef, and according to Rabbanon, you'll be Potter. It's like the tree, piece of wood that flew. Rabbi asked him, Rapshita, isn't that the exact same case? It's not the same. Because here, the axe touched the wood. Here, as Tosfos explains, the clump that you threw first flew in the air. And that should be considered a situation of koich toichi. Kamashmon, that's not koich koichi. Since the clump that you threw actually hit the date, it's considered koichi. Ask the moral koich koichi, Rebbe Hechem Shkasla. And the way that we should explain, they assumed that koich koichi doesn't go to Golos. Or even if they didn't know that, some Rishonim explained, there must be a case of koich koichai. What is the case of koich koichai? El koich koichai Rabbi Hechem Shkatzloi. You go to shot a piece of machil garma. You threw a clump of earth and it hit something, and then also garma or machil kafsa. And then that thing hit the dates. Vasa tamri vasa tamri vikotl. So the thing that you threw never touched the thing that actually killed the victim. That everybody will agree is a case of koichai for which there is no goals.